Asimisa Relicon, the recording beyond.
Okay, Chevra, so it's really a pleasure to speak with you. You're learning the halachos of Pesach this year, and right now I understand you're up to the halachos of Hagolah for Pesach. What I'm going to say are things that you probably have encountered beforehand, but I hope that either through the Sidur HaDevarim or perhaps just through the presentation, there might be one or two chidushim which you have not been exposed to. So obviously, when it comes to kashering kelim, the Torah in Parshas Matos tells me that each kelim gets kashered based on the way the kelim was used. Achas hazoha, vesa kesef, etc. Kodavar sheyavo ba'esh, tavir ba'esh. If an item was used with fire, so then in order to kasher it, you need fire. That's what we call libun. Kol asher lo yavo ba'esh, tavir ba'esh. So the Torah speaks about kashering through Liban and kashering through Hag'olah. This is the simple reading of the Psukim in the Torah. Now, the Gemara in Avodah Zarah raises a contradiction about particular items, whether it requires Liban or Hag'olah. If you have, this is Avodah Zarah Daf Ayin Vav, if you have the Shpud and an Askelah, Shpud is like like a luau, right? What is it like? You know, it's like a stick that you stick through the pig and it goes around on the fire. You know what a luau is, right? I've never been to one. I'm assuming that some of you have been there. If you have a spit or whatever that goes on the fire, so on the one hand, we learn that it requires libun. On the other hand, we learn in Mesachah Zvachim that Ashpud and Askelah requires Hag'olah. So the Gemara at the end of Avodah Zarah, Daf Ayin Vav, is bothered by Mistira. And for the Gemara, it depends whether it's Hetera Bala or Yisira Bala. The case in Mesechah Zvachim, we're talking about Nosar by Karbanos. The meat enters the pot when it feels kosher, when you could eat it. It's only later on that it becomes a non-kosher. So therefore, that's Hetera Bala, and that's why it only requires Hag'olah. But if I have something that is Boleya, the Isser, when it is actually an Isser already, so then it requires Libun. That's the halacha. Of course, this is relevant to a halacha in terms of kashering items. Let's say I have a frying pan, which I want as my pyre frying pan. It's a Teflon-coated frying pan. Teflon, you can't really do Libun on. It will destroy it. I take my Teflon frying pan, it's my pyre frying pan, and I use it with some fleishiks. So now it's fleishik, but I don't want a fleishik frying pan. I want a pyre frying pan. So what do I do? So lamaisi could do Hag'olah, even though it absorbed directly with the heat, even though it is directly on the esh, but nonetheless, since it's hetera bala, I can kasher ayyadei Hag'olah, and that basically, that's the halacha. The Chassam Sofer writes in the Tshuva, actually, that if I have a davar that is eno ben yomo, right? Let's say I have a milchik eno ben yomo frying pan, and then I use it for fleishiks. So in that case, that's also considered hetera bala, and therefore I could use it. I could kasher ayde hagala. This is like one of the best tricks to have up your rabbinic sleeves, because when you get a shayla for like a frying pan, how do you kasher it? Mamaisa, in many cases, if it's eno ben yomo, you can do Hag'olah, which really solves issues all the time. The question which I'm specific about is what happens if you have Lina Slayla? Is that enough to make it Hetera Bola according to the Chassam Sofer? There's also a difference between the way the Chassam Sofer presents it and the
Chassam Sofer.
What?
Marmukum for the Chassam Sofer?
I don't have the Marmukum on me. It's quoted in the Tziyunim in the Chokas Bin Yamin right at the beginning of the Simen, beginning of Kufchaf Aleph. I did not bring my Chokas Bin Yamin with me. I don't have the Marmukum Blined. I could try to send it to you, but you could find it as easily as I can. The Alter Rebbe in Shulchan Aruch presents the same idea. He just presents it differently than the Chassam Sofer. The Alter Rebbe presents it as a B'diyevin. The Chassam Sofer sounds like even L'chatchila Hag'olah could work. But this really can solve millions of problems. So what we have is, we can learn the end of Avodah Zarah. The difference between Libon and Hagodla depends on whether it's Isura Bala or Hetera Bala. The question that we have to deal with is, what's the status of Chametz B'Pesach? On the one hand, Chametz B'Pesach is absorbed, and it's Chametz B'Pesach. Unlike Nosar, when it's absorbed, it's Kosher Karban meat, and it becomes Nosar later on. Chametz is absorbed, and it's Chametz. On the other hand, when Chametz is absorbed as Chametz, Chametz is kosher, right? Right now, if I use my pot for chametz, so it's hetera bala, but maybe not. Maybe there's a shame chametz all year long. The isker chametz in the mikdash by menachos, etc., applies all year long. So maybe there's a shame chametz all year long, and one could argue that chametz is considered isura bala, not hetera bala. The Ritva on Avodah Zarah on Ayin Vav, the Ritva writes that he's medayik from Rashi, that Rashi says that Nosar is considered hetera bala because the Isser is not be'en. Zok the Ritva, what that means is that chametz, where the Isser is be'en, it would be considered isura bala. The Ritva is medayik from Rashi, that Rashi holds that chametz v'pesach is considered isura bala. The Bali HaTosfos, however, there in Avodah Zarah, Daf Ayin Vav, the Bali HaTosfos are bothered by Yastira about what do we do with knives. On the one hand, the Gemara in Psachim, on Daf Lamed, says that Zakini de Pischa is Bereisken, meaning that you kasher the knife with Hagala. On the other hand, we learn that Hasakin, the Tosefta writes, a Hasakin is Yilabno Gor. There's a stira about the status of the knife. So Taisvis in Avodah Zarah has three answers to this kasha. But the first answer is the most yisodistic. Tosa says that for Pesach, it's considered hetera bala. The reason why the Gemara Pesachim Daf Lamed says that the sakin requires hagola is because chametz is hetera bala. When it's absorbed, it's mamish heter. There's no Isser of Chametz right now. So that's why Hagola suffices. So what we have is, on a fundamental level, according to Rashi, Chametz is considered Isura Bala, whereas according to Tosfos, Chametz is considered Hetera Bala. This seems to be a huge Machlokes of Rishonim. Again, we could go through many other Shittos of Rishonim and trace the issue, but it seems like this is just Al Rego Achas, this is the Hakdama to the sugya. Now, of course, according to Rashi, that sakinim on Pesach, according to Rashi, the chametz of Pesach is considered isura bala. So why is it that the sakinim, you can use hagala on them? How come the Gemara?
Rav Tashmisha Bekach, that's Rashi Shita.
So Rashi Shita is that we follow Rav Tashmisha. In other words, according to Rashi, the reason why Hagolah is enough is because, let's be honest, when I use a knife, most of the time I use a knife to cut up steak or something. I don't use a knife directly on the fire like with a shawarma. So therefore, since it is not, most often it's not used directly on the fire, so Rashi would hold that we follow Rav Tashmisha, despite the fact that chametz is Isura Bala. This, of course, leads, I think, to there's svarim that I like. I say sure. So the Megillah Sefer, is gevaldik on in the Yanim of Yerideya, etc. So the Megillah Sefer on Yerideya, it's on page 251. He discusses how you kasher the counters for Pesach. That's what his essay is. So he comments that the Ramah is machmir, that we treat chametz like isura bala, and the Ramah is also machmir for miyot tashmish. And l'cha'ora, Reb Kiva Eger already points out that these two chumras don't make sense, because if I am choshesh for miyot tashmish, that means I'm not going like Rashi. Right? Rashi follows Rav Tashmisha. So to be choshish both that it's Isura Bala and to be choshish for Miyot Tashmisha, doesn't really make sense. So this is Nogei Alamais in terms of kashering for Pesach all the time. Now, if I have my counters, so my counters, Reif Tashmisha on my counters with Ha'ora are not Beroschim at all. Most often I use my counters for cold items. I use it just to store stuff. Roschim will happen very rarely. Right? The Mishnah Berurah is nervous that maybe I'm going to take like a Lakshin Kugel and put it down directly on the counter. Rabbi Willig says in our world, this never happens. The Lakshin Kugel is always in a pan, and therefore there should be no need to kasher the counter, Kal V'ikar. Like Bechlau, you don't have to kasher your counters for Pesach. But some people are machmir, that they want to kasher the counter, and they're machmir that, maybe the counter will, let's say, require libun, because it came, why would it require libun? I don't know. Let's say it would require hagola, the kli rishon. Let's say choshesh, that the dover gush has a din of a kli rishon. So I put my kugel on it directly, so I have to do a kli rishon on my counter, right? That's what the Mishnah Berurah says, using even maluban. Okay, great. But one second. But it doesn't really make sense, because if it's a terabola, right? So l'cha'ora, you don't really need to be choshesh for that. If it's a terabola, right? Presumably I could lower the level of kashering one level, no? Wouldn't it make sense that if...
But if you have terabola, you don't need to do libun, but you still need to do hagala.
Well, that's the question. In other words, one could make an argument that heterabala lowers the level of kashering one degree all the time.
Is there a makor for that you don't need to, you can use evoi instead of hagala if it's heterabala?
Absolutely not. No makor. But what I would say is, right, what I would say is that since we can assume rov tashmisha me ikar hadin, so even the iroi is a chumra. Outs rov tashmisha, I might not need any hechsher at all. No? Because rov of the time, I don't put anything hot on my counter.
Something wrong with the Ramas chumra. He's just being machmir against Rashi, and he's being choshed for me and Tashmisha. He's not requiring libun on the
counter. But again, the way it merges from the poskim, the way the Magen Avraham paskins, I should say it like this, Magen Avraham Sifkat and Vav, paskins, I should be choshesh both that there's a requirement for libun and for me and Tashmisha. Those two chumras together don't make sense. Because if I hold like Rashi...
That's the point.
Mishum
chumra de Pesach. So we take the chumra
of
here.
Yeah, but in the same place.
But can I have chumra de Pesach when no rishon holds like that?
In the same place.
I'm sorry, I didn't hear?
Yeah, because we're just saying that you could be machmir for each one individually. But if there's an item that where they both coincide, so then it would be a tarik disaster. I'm not sure what that is.
That's correct.
Except for the knife. Yeah. The only case where that would be a tarik disaster is an actual knife. Or a frying pan.
You generally use for something else that you happen to use one time.
Or
a pot. One time use for roasting.
Right.
Now, the complicating factor over here is how do I deal with the other opinions in Tosfos? The opinions in Tosfos that, let's say, there's a difference between big knives and little knives. The opinions in Tosfos that, right, the opinion in Tosfos, let's say, that a little knife you use sometimes, Agabe Hagacholim. Does that opinion really hold like Rashi or really hold like Tosfos? It's unclear. It's unclear these other opinions in the Balei HaTosfos, are they also working with the fact that Chametz is Heterabola? One could argue that if I take these other opinions in Tosfos seriously, so then perhaps there's makom. Again, it's not just Rabbi Brand was saying the chumr of Pesach or machmir all the way. I would contend, and this requires a little more research, but I would contend that there's a possibility that the other opinions in Tosfos are both holding that it's Yisur Rabbala, and they are not going to say I follow Rav Tashmishel. If that's the pshat in these other opinions, again, you have to do careful work in terms of what this opinion of the Riva and the Taisis holds. But if that is correct, so then I think there is makom to be choshish both ways. Now, just in terms of just in Yanei Machshava, a teeny bit regarding whether chametz is considered hetera bala or yisura bala, which we're saying is a machlokas between Rashi and the Balei HaTosfos. So there's a sefer that Shai Shechter gave me by Rebbe Yochum Dvorkis. It's like Rebbe Yochum Dvorkis is like a real Talmud Chacham, but he has like this weird way of quoting Zohars together with like what we would call normal Torah. So he points out that there's a stir in the Zohar about what's the status of chametz. Is chametz dome to Yetzer Hara, or is chametz dome to Gaiva? That's his question. It's a stir in the Zohar. So one could argue as follows. One could argue that Yetzer Hara is obviously usur all year long. HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't want us to get anywhere near Yetzer Hara. Gaiva isn't necessarily always a bad thing. Gaiva, there is a type of Rav Salvation just to speak about the Geus de Kedusha. The Rav would speak about Vayig Balibo Bedarkei Hashem, that a person should have a certain element of Gaiva in his service of the Ribbono Shel Olam. So Gaiva, it could be, is not such a bad thing all year long, but Gaiva becomes very bad on Pesach. In the sense of the whole Yisod of Pesach is that we did not do it ourselves. Gaiva is a person usually thinks tochi v'otzem yadi asli asachai alazeh. That might be okay all year long to attribute certain things to yourself. But Pesach, the idea is ani v'lo malach, ani v'lo saraf, ani v'lo hashaliach. Pesach, the idea is that we focus that everything is done because of the Ribbono Shel Olam. We're not doing anything. We don't even mention Moshe Rabbeinu in the Haggadah. So the yesod, I think, is that all year long, maybe gaiva is hetera bala, but it becomes treif on Pesach. It's ki'ilo like notar, right? If you hold the chametz is like yetzer hara, so one could argue it's usur all year long. And one could argue that's like yisura bala. But if it's dome de gaiva, one could argue that it is not like that. Okay, again, I think this is certainly a possibility. Now, the Rambam, how does the Rambam approach this question as to whether chametz is hetzirabala or yisirabala? So the Rambam in Perek Hey of Chametz and Matzah, Halacha Chof Gimel, the Rambam writes that sakinim martiach es halaha ves hanatzov b'chli vishin v'achar kach mishtamish ba b'matzah. Meaning, the Rambam does not distinguish between a kli gadol, between a sakin gadol and a sakin katan. The Rambam seems to say that every knife, hagola, is sufficient, which would imply that chametz is called hetera bala. This might explain why the Rambam in Perek Tes Vov, Halacha Tes, the Rambam writes, it's Tesvav Machos Asuras Halacha Tes. The Rambam writes a chametz on Pesach, even though it's an Issur Torah, but nonetheless, Mikavon She'ein HaTarovas Asura LaOlam Shreila Achar Pesach Tiakot Tarovas Miteres Kamosha Be'arnu Lefikach Oser Bekoshu Ben Bemino Ben Shalom Bemino. The Rambam holds that the chumra of Pesach is out of the fact that it's a Dover She'esh L'Matirin. It makes more sense to say that chametz is a Dover She'esh L'Matirin if you hold that chametz is hetera bala all year long. It's usur during this period of time, during the yontif of Pesach. The rest of the year, chametz is not usur. It's hetera bala. So memela, I could say that the reason why a machmir the chametz is usur b'mashehu, etc., is because it's a davar she'esh lo matirin. And that's what the Rambam holds, because chametz is fundamentally hetera bala. But Rashi, who we explained holds, or the Ritva explained that Rashi holds a chametz on Pesach is Isura Bala. It happens that Rashi has a reason in Meseches Pesachim Chavtes, that the reason why chametz is going to be usher b'mashu is because of chumer de chametz, because it's considered an iser, it's an iser kares. That's the lashon of Rashi. Meaning to say, I would maintain that Rashi was shitaso, since he holds a chametz as the surabala, he can't argue that chametz is a dabashiyash matirin, because it doesn't really become mutter after Pesach. Yes, the stringency of the iser of chametz is lowered, but it bribes chametz. The iser remains an iser chametz, and therefore, I would argue that according to Rashi, it is not considered davar sheyesh lamatirin, because the iser of chametz never really went away. Since chametz is called isura bala. Again, this is conjecture. I don't think it's muchrach, but I do think that it's a possibility in terms of understanding the sugya. Now, according to Taisus, that chametz is hetera bala. So that's why we understand this is the din that you encountered at the beginning of Simin Tafnun Beis, that you could be magil the kelim of Pesach before the fourth hour, even if it's ben yomel. Right? The halacha basically is that even if it's ben yomel, lemaisa it's heter, and therefore you could be magil before the fourth hour, even when it's ben yomel, even pachos mishishim. That's the basic halacha, because it would be considered naparnata hetera. Since chametz is hetera bala, so what's the worst case scenario? That the flavor from this knife or from this keli, whatever the keli is going to go into the water. If you don't have shishim in the water, maybe it's going to goop right back into the keli, and that will cause a problem. Well, one second, I don't say that if it's hetera bala. Because if it's hetera bala, the heter goes out. Even if you don't have shishim, the heter left the keli, and that's good enough. It's not going to come back in. I only have to be nervous if I hold isura bala. And the idea of making it eno ben yomo seemed to make sense also only in the realm of saying that it is isura bala. I think this is what emerges from the Balei HaTosis very clearly. The problem then emerges when I open up the Shulchan Aruch, because it's well known that in Tafnun Aleph Sif Dalet, we pass it that Shbu Dinasko those require Libun. The requirement of Libun by Chometz only makes sense if it's Yisura Bola. That would make sense according to Rashi, that Chometz is Yisura Bola, therefore you need Libun. But in Tafnun Beis, we see that when you do Hag'olah before Shach HaMishis, you don't have to be machmir on any of these dinim, of Eino Ben Yomo, etc. Right? You don't have to be machmir of Shishim Eino Ben Yomo before Shach HaMishis. That means L'cha'ora, that we're treating it as Hetera Bola. So it's a steer in the Shulchan Aruch. Now the Mishnah Berurah, the way Rav Shech always says this, is that the Mishnah Berurah is very firm. And the Mishnah Berurah decided that we should be machmer in everything. The Mishnah Berurah says that you should be choishesh, that chametz is called Yisura Bala, and therefore don't be machshir kelim unless they are Eino Ben Yomo. I remember as a kid, I used to go to the public Hagolas Kelim in the Shar Yoshev Yeshiva. Their posek in Shar Yoshev was Rabbi Moshe Dov Stein. Actually, he has a beautiful sefer on Erpesa Shechalios B'Shabbat, which is called Hilchos HaDepiska or something like that. It's really a beautiful sefer. It ends up using Erpesa Shechalios B'Shabbat to branch into all the inyanim of Pesach in general. And I remember when we used to do the Hag'olah, he would always add some ammonia or some pine salt into the water. He set the water on a gas burner so that the water is constantly bubbling. One of the chashos that the poskim have, I believe the Taz has the chash originally, that if I throw a number of kelim in, the water will lose its resicha. It won't be boiling anymore. So therefore, the poskim say, oh, you know what? Throw a spoon in. Wait a little bit. Throw the next spoon in. That's the proper way to do Haggadah. What Rabbi Stein had this einfall is that we use a gas heater for the water, so the water remains at a constant boiler, at a constant boil. He also would add ammonia to the water to make sure that everything is by definition going to be pogum. Let's say someone throws a keli and it's still ben yamin. So because there's ammonia in the water, that will solve the issue. Now it happens that the boiling point of ammonia is lower than the boiling point of water, which might mean, this is just like a halal special from Malachim, it might mean that ammonia loses its pogum property before the water is actually boiling, which might mean that it no longer has the status of ammonia in terms of ruining the flavor of the item. It still smells really bad. The odor of ammonia, use pine sol ammonia or something like that, that's, I think, standard practice in communal Haggadah Kelim. Make sure that everything is, make sure that everything is considered a davar pogum. So that's what the Mishnah Berurah says. The Mishnah Berurah writes that whenever you kasher, make sure it's eino ben yomo. And based on this, in the communal hechsher kelims, what they do is they kasher with ammonia. The Shechter always points out that in his opinion, the Mishnah Berurah changed Judaism. In his opinion, fundamentally, we hold like the Balei HaTosfos that chometz is hetera bala. How come the shvudin and askelos require libun? So Rav Shechter says, at stamazoi, it's a chomer ba'alma that was thrown into Shulchan Aruch. We really hold the chometz is hetera bala. This is, of course, what Rav Shechter got from Rav Soloveitchik. The Rav said that the reason why you kasher an oven before Pesach, just by turning it up to the highest temperature in that oven, is because since chametz is hetera bala, even something that would require libun in an ordinary situation, but ayudei hetera bala, so Haggadah suffices. And when you turn the oven up to its highest temperature, the oven ends up being, let's say, at 550 or the like. So that is the temperature of Kash Nisraf. By Kash Nisraf, I think, what's the book? Fahrenheit 451? Right? That's when paper burns. The Kash Nisraf is around 428 or something. What's the temperature?
That's true. That's why it's called 451.
Yeah, it's called Fahrenheit 451 because that's the temperature the paper burns. Yeah. But Kash is a little bit lower than paper. So it's around 428, 429, I think. So when you have 550, you're certainly at the temperature of Libun Kal. And we paskin that Libun Kal always has the same halachic status as Haggadah. So Rav Soloveitchik was mekal on kashering an oven for Pesach, ayyadei the Libun Kal, just turning the oven up as high as it goes, because Libun Kal equals Haggadah, and he held fundamentally chametz is hetera bala. But what would emerge is that if I move into a new apartment and the previous owner was non-Jewish, so the oven had real tarfit in it. So according to the Rav, you would have to do libun on the oven. You'd have to do real libun achiyu nitzotzos nitzen himenu. Because if it's Yisur Bala, you need a real Libun. Now, it's not abundantly clear that this is correct. In Rabbi Eider's book, I have the Marimokum written down somewhere. In Rabbi Eider's book, he comments, there's a famous machlekes between Rav Moshe Feinstein and Rabbi Cutler about how you capture an oven. Do I assume that an oven is considered like a dover that's directly on the Eish and would require libun, let's say if it's a treif item? Or do I assume that since the oven in the worst case scenario is balea al yidei hevel, the oven is balea that the steam of the food rises and that steam is absorbed into the defanos of the tanur, so then one could argue that that's not the same as having a piece of chazer on the frying pan. What's the status of the Zaya? Rav Moshe Feinstein, when he felt that ovens require Lieblum Gomor, he felt that I take the Dinim Simon Tzadi base to an extreme. When we learn from a Mishnah Machshirin or the Vilna Goyin has a Maramachim from the Sugya of Kisa or Niyar, when I have the Tipas Cholov that falls onto a piece of meat. So the halacha is I want to spread that Tipas Cholov to the entire pot. Because if it just lands on this piece of meat, that piece of meat will become Shreif and then Chanan, it can mess up everything else. So what I want to do is I want to stir the pot right away in order to diffuse that drop of milk to the rest of the pot. That's what I want to do. So the Gemara says that the way you do it is near of, now either you stir it right away or cover the pot. The Vilna Gaon says that the idea of covering the pot shows that the Zeya, that when I cover the pot right away, all the steam from the pot goes up to the top. That shows that it, the Zeya is ma'arev everything. That's the Gaon's Maramakam for the Dinim in Sadi Beis, that the Zeya of Cholav has a din of Cholav. The Tshuvas HaRosh, which is the real source of this din, assumes that the Maramakam is from Dinim in Machshirin. It's a Mishnah in Machshirin, and it's very hard to understand exactly how the Maramakam. But what status the Zeya? Do I view the Zeya, let's say, from Chazer, like it's mamish, a piece of Chazer, and therefore it's kiyuv, the Chazer touches the oven, and therefore the oven would require Liban Gomor, because Chazer is Yisura Bala? Or do I say that no, that the Zeya is not really the exact item of the treif? Maybe the Zeya is ki'ilo, it's like some sort of iroi. Maybe the Zeya is not really like the Isser is touching the Dofne HaTanor. Conceptually, you could think of this in many different ways. It ends up being this, what Rabbi Eider points out, the focus of Moshe Feinstein and Brian Cutler, about how you kasher ovens, whether Reb Moshe says you need Liban Gomor, and Reb Aaron said that he felt Liban Kal, because of Hagolah works. According to Rav Salvechik's Mahalach, you could kasher an oven for Pesach, ayudei Liban Kal. But for the rest of the year, when you want to kasher an oven from Isura Bola, so then it would require Liban Gomor. That, I think, is what emerges from that's what emerges from the discussion in Rav Salavitik, etc. Now, the Achronim all quote, or the later Poskim quote, this Tshuva and Igros Moshe and Kelam Bitzim and Tzadi Beis, Rav Moshe argues that Kelam, which are made from new materials, can't kasher. If you have a Kelam that are made of plastic or the like, you can't kasher at all. I once spoke to someone who worked in a plastic laboratory. There are like 50 different types of plastics based on the various materials, etc. Rav Moshe says that it doesn't matter what type of plastic, you can't kosher any plastic. Rabbi Eider entertains the idea that maybe Rav Moshe is only speaking for chametz because of the food of the Pesach. But Lemaisa, most assume that the reason not to kasher new materials is because of the chshash of domapaki. The chshash, so let's say if I have a plastic item, so in, through the kashering process, it might get ruined, it might get destroyed. If that's the case, so then one could argue that if you have a strong type of plastic, there's no reason not to kasher it. There's no chshash of domapaki. If it's a strong type of plastic. The argument that Rav Moshe has, that these new items can't be kashered, that the Torah only mentions these specific metals that can be kashered, and any new item, maybe it's like zechuchet, and it's boleya entirely, it's subject to hechsher, no one accepts that argument. We kasher plastic all year long. Maybe for chametz, some accepted the argument, but Rav Shechter told me that at this point in the OU, they kasher plastic for Pesach also. Rav Moshe sort of lost on this issue. There's a whole conversation now that's going on about many of the counters, stone counters, granite counters. So they're covered with a type of polyurethane which makes it not absorbent. If you have a stone counter and you don't have a polyurethane on it, so it might absorb through and through. And that would like end up getting moisture into your cabinet. That's not something that you would want. So therefore, they coat the granite countertops with polyurethane. So there's, I heard from one of my brothers-in-law once that he won't kosher the granite countertops for Pesach because it's really polyurethane. Polyurethane is a type of plastic, and we don't kosher plastic for Pesach ad kan. It seems like this is really very extreme. No? This is based on a Mahalach and Reb Moshe, which I think is not accepted at all. What is worth noting, though, is koshering stuff for Pesach, is what do we do about the following thing? Standard practice is that we kosher a sink al yaday iri, that you pour boiling water over the entire sink, and the kosher is because the assumption is that the sink only became chametz thick, that like a stream of hot water hits something in a pot or hits something that's on the bottom of the sink, and it got shrafe, so to speak, al yaday iri, so we kosher it al yaday iri. That's the standard approach. Rav Shachter told me that Rabbi Belsky was choshech that maybe you should have to kosher your sink al yaday making the sink into kli mishon. Rabbi Belsky was nervous that if I, let's say, make noodles, so inevitably I put my noodles in the strainer, you know, and there's always going to be noodles that fall out and end up in the sink. The noodles might have a din of a davar gush. If it has a din of a davar gush, and I'm choshesh that davar gush actually creates bliyas la'inyan pesach, right? We know it's a machlokas between the Rama and the Maharshal. It's a machlokas between the Yisur v'Heter and the Yamshel Shlomo about the status of davar gush. But if you're choshesh that there's a din of davar gush, and davar gush makes it like a cleavishin, so memela I should have to kasher my sink for Pesach by making my sink into a cleavishin. Let me just finish the sentence, and then I'm happy to take your question. That would mean I have to stop up my sink and put an Evan Maluban into the sink, so it mamish begins to boil, and make my entire sink into a cleavishin, and that would be the way you kosher the sink. Rav Shachter told me that's what Rabbi Belsky holds. Yeah. You have a comment?
I understand. Do we have any room for how to define which objects are done or which is not? You know, when you make a pot of noodles, you take out a noodle and you want to see if it's ready. I pick it up with a spoon and I spoon the noodle into my hand. And then I pop it from my hand into my mouth and I make a mazonos and I see how crunchy it is.
So when I give the Urim and Yerideya, this is what I alluded to a minute ago. I said it's a machlokas between the Isser v'Heter and the Maharshal. The Isser v'Heter Ha'aruch writes that Orez has a din of a davar gush.
How could that be?
The Maharshal says it doesn't have a din of a davar gush. Now, how would Orez have the status of a davar gush? I mean, like, it's just a rice grain. The teretz is that if you have something that clumps together, even if each item is individual and it's not so large, that's still the davar gush. Usually I think of a davar gush as being like a potato in the chalant, right? That's the paradigmatic davar gush, the chalant potato. But the Isser v'Heter writes, and his opinion, Orez is also a davar gush. It's funny, the Shach and his discussion in Kufay about davar gush puts the Isser v'Heter together with the Yamshel Shlomo. If you open it up, they're saying totally different things. The Yamshel Shlomo is not saying that Orez is a davar gush. The Yamshel Shlomo does say that davar gush affects Bishel. The Isser v'Heter says Orez is a davar gush, but the Isser v'Heter writes that davar gush only affects Bliya, doesn't affect Bishel. So, again, it seems to me that if you want to be choshish for the Magen Avraham and Hilchos Shabbos, that davar gush will create an Isser of Bishel b'Shabbos, so it doesn't make sense to be choshish by Orez or by small things in the cholent. Like the cholent has like barley and it has the potatoes. Maybe the big potato kuliam was a dover gush, but they have like smaller potatoes. So the barley, so to be choshish, that's also a dover gush. And the inyan Shabbos, it seems to me that that's like a stira minei ubei. Because according to the Issa v'heter, Urez is a dover gush, but Urez only affects Blia, but dover gush only affects Blia, it doesn't affect Bishul. I don't care about Blia in Hilchos Shabbos. I only care about Bishul.
I understand. In your own house, when you deal with noodles, do you treat, in your own house, do you treat noodles as a dover gush? It just, you blow on it for 5 seconds and your three-year-old daughter can already eat the noodles.
Again, like it happens. I happen to be very sloppy in the kitchen and I'm likely to have like chunks of the noodles that land in the sink. Are there other items like dover gush of chametz? Like I just thought of noodles. What else is a dover gush of chametz?
Everyone is only talking about noodles. I think it's like the only dover gush that you would pour into your sink from a previous. What other dover gush do you pour into your sink? Because that's the shiloh. So it's when you strain noodles, but they cool down.
Leftover cholent.
Leftover cholent.
You pour
high. Usually, by the time I pour the leftover cholent in, it's already cold. You're saying if I have a lot of cholent and the cholent has lots of barley, so it's the same issue. Whether barley, right, or the, I mean, do I have to be worried about the time of the barley in the potato and that makes it like a dover gush for a bli of chametz? You have to be nervous about that. That's interesting. Again, like, without getting into the sugya, without thinking about it much, it would seem to me that's like what we call a far-fetched in Yiddish. Like, I don't think that is really so reasonable. But again, be creative. Is there another thing that's called a dover gush that potentially makes it into my sink? Rav Belsky's cheshbon to kasher a sink ayudei evan melubon, it seems to me that that makes much more sense than kashering my counters with Evan Malubon. The Mishnah Berurah's cheshbon of using the Evan Malubon to kasher the counters because he worried that I have my Lakshon Kugel that goes directly on the counter. Right, first of all, Rabbi Willig said no one does it that way. Right. Second of all, in the worst case scenario, you're being koshish for what? For a dover gush that makes it like a klimishin, then you're going to kasher, right? In other words, you're koshish for miyotash misho. Right, and your choshesh that this is, it's very, to assume that you need to use an Evan Malubon on your counter seems to be a tremendous chumrah. It would seem to me, though, that using an Evan Malubon in my sink to make my sink like a clean Rishon, I think is more reasonable than using.
What exactly is the difference, though?
On the counter. What?
What exactly is the difference, though?
I think the difference, I think the difference is like how often it happens. Right. In the sefer,
but what's the halacha of how often it happens?
So let's go slowly. What does rov tashmisho versus miyot tashmisho mean? So it's not abundantly clear. I don't think it means, and my friend the Megillah Sefer points out that he doesn't think that rov tashmisho miyot tashmisho is cheshbend based on quantity of times that you use it. In his opinion, it depends on, is this a normal use or is it not a normal use? Miyotash Misho, in the case of the Sakinim, right, what does it mean that's Miyotash Misho? It means that rarely do I use the Sakin directly on the Shwarma. Occasionally I will. So it's a use of a Sakin, but it's not the designated use of a Sakin. In that case, because it's a known use of the sakin, so we could argue that's a cheshbon of rov tashmisho versus miyot tashmisho. But if something occurs only as like a freak occurrence, how often does my kugel end up on my counter without anything intervening? That's a freak occurrence. That's not even considered miyot tashmisho, the Megillah Sefer argues. As opposed to the noodles in my sink, I think that's, I make pasta once a week or so. Right? It's a regular current that you end up with the pasta on the bottom of the sink. I would argue that that certainly is more of a reason to be choshesh than the counters. That's the way it seems to me.
This could be because I never really understood the svar behind Rov Tashmisho, but we're not, this is not like Hilchos Shabbos in terms of like a shinoi. We're talking mitzias. So why should the why should the shinoi matter more than just the minority of the time?
So again, I think Rov Tashmisho versus Mia Tashmisho is because we have to be koveya one type of hechsher for the keli. Either the
so keli. If that's true, then who cares? Then so,
But let's go slowly. What does the Torah say? Kol davar sheyavo ba'esh ta'aviru ba'esh. Kasher lo yavo ba'esh ta'aviru ba'mayim. What the Torah seems to be saying is that any item which is ordinarily used ba'esh. It doesn't mean, right, every item could sometimes be used ba'esh. But the Torah is koveya davar sheyavo ba'esh in the sense of, again, the argument of Rov Tashmisho, I think it makes sense, just that I'm koveya each keli based on what it is, and I have to put a keli in one of those areas. Is it a libun keli? Is it a hagola keli? Etc. I think that's my way of understanding. That's my way of understanding the sugya. Oh, again, it's just worth noting one other ma'ariv makom. Before we conclude, or that we will conclude, Rabbi Ganek, in his Sefer Gan Shoshanim, on page 33, Rabbi Ganek has a different answer to the Stirin Shulchan Aruch. Right? On the one hand, we know in Tufnun Aleph, there's a requirement for Libun on the Shpudin. On the other hand, in Tufnun Beis, we say that you don't need all of the Chumras in terms of Shishim and Enel Ben Yomo when you kasher during Shoravius. So how do we answer that stira? So Rabbi Ganak points out that the piyut for Shabbos HaGadol of Rabbi Yosef Tov Elam writes that you're supposed to be kone sakinim chadoshim of Pesach. Many of the poskim understand that it's not only sakinim chadoshim, but Rabbi Yosef Tov Elam means is that you're supposed to be kone all kelim chadoshim for Pesach. What that probably means is as follows. That probably means that there's some kpeda on Pesach not to use old kelim that were used for chametz. If that's the case, so then the requirement for libun on the sakin might make sense, because al yedei the libun, that's nitzotzos nitzon heimenu, it's ki'ilu, it becomes like a new keli. So therefore, I could say, okay, I'll do libun on the shpud because I'm really supposed to create a new keli. But when it comes to doing hag'ola, so in that situation, the keli isn't becoming new anyway. In the worst case scenario, I'm being mevatel the iser in the water, and it's bittel before Pesach, so that's why it works, whatever the cheshbon is. But if that's the case, so one could argue that when it comes to the shbud and the askla, so we're going to say, listen, you have an opportunity to mamish, make it a new keli, do it. Because you'll fulfill Rabbi Yosef Tov Elam, that l'chatchila you should be kone kelim chadoshim for Pesach. But when I'm doing hag'olah and the keli is not going to become a new keli m'manafshach, so then in that situation, we'll say, you don't have to abide by all the rules that you can. You don't have to abide by Eino Ben Yomo and Shishim, etc. Again, these are just some of the ha'aros that Rabbi Goldstein asked me to comment on, like some of the practical elements of Hechsher Kelim for Pesach. I don't know if this satisfied what you were asking for, but this is just what I decided to present.
Does the Beis Yosef ever quote that piyut? Like, is there any evidence that he's machshav?
I mean, it happens that the Rishonim quote the piyut for Shabbos HaGadol all the time. It is the Balei HaTaisu quote this piyut for Shabbos HaGadol. That's the discussion in terms of making a Bairi Pri HaAdam on the Karpas. Comes from the piyut for the piyut of Yosef Tovel on the Shabbos HaGadol. One of my rebbeim in high school pointed out that the earliest discussion about whether Noshim are mechuyavos and Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim is from the piyut of Rabbi Yosef Tov Elam. Right? He goes in the Aleph phase. So the paragraph that begins with the Samach says, Sachu Sha Noshim Tzrichel Sa'amtza, The fact that the Noshim have to be Mesaper B'Kiyas Mitzrayim because she Yeshno Baal Tol Chachamis, Yeshno B'Kumechol Matzah, and he's understanding that Sipo Yetzias Mitzrayim is a Kiyam in Achilas Matzah. So there's a lot of lumdis that you could say based on this Piyot Peshabbos HaGadol. Someone showed me, I think Eliezer Brut showed me, or he came up with like some Perish on the Piyot Peshabbos HaGadol. It's really kedai to go through it and see. There's a lot of chidushim mahalacha. I don't remember that the Beis Yosef quotes this din in the Hakdama to Rabbi Cohen's Sefer of Hagolas Kalim. He has a discussion about this Piyut Shabbos Hagadol and whether the din is only for sakinim or whether it's by all kalim. Rabbi Ganak is assuming that applies by all kalim. That's his shtickle Torah. Yes.
Ask a question on the Gemara itself about Yisur Bala and Heter Bala. I don't know.
Yeah.
Grab for it. It's not a halachic question, but right, the Gemara is saying that no sar is Heter Bala because when it went in, it was Basar Kachim and it wasn't Basar B'Isr no sar. Right. I don't understand why we can say that a davar which is usar for rope of Kali Yisrael to eat, like a carbon chatas, besides carbon chatas, how we can call that heter bala. It's heter for just a few families of B'nai Yisrael to eat. Rov HaKlal Yisrael is also for them to eat that, yet we can still use this logic of heter bala.
Right. It's a good heart. Tosfos in Zvachim discusses whether something could be a davar sheyeshlo matirin if it's only going to be mutter for specific groups of people. I always thought that's the same type of issue. In other words, if something is mutter for a group of people, that could be davar sheyesh matirin. That means I treat it like heter. I think your question is that no, I don't treat it like heter because I'm a non-kohen. I can never eat a carbon chatas, right? Now, one could also argue that maybe I'm talking about korbanos like shlomim, which is shaykh for everyone to eat, but the pashtas and the gemaras are talking about carbon chatas. So you're right.
Yes, they're only for other for kohen. You know, if you could it be that the Gemara means it's hetera bala for other kohanim, but like kilo, if a Yisrael couldn't use the same shvod to roast his shlamim that was used yesterday for a carbon chatas,
remember, I'm talking about a keli that's in the Beis Hamikdash, a keli that's designated for kohanim to use. That keli is never intended for me. This is a Beis Hamikdash pot. It's a pot that the kohanim cook, right? Cook their carbon chatas in. So that pot I have to discuss, is that hetera bala, is that isura bala? Right? And so nosar, the Gemara says it's hetera bala because the moment that the carbon gets cooked, it's heter. And the pot is not designated for anyone else. This is a Kohen's pot. It's a Beis Hamikdash pot. I don't know if this means that you froze.
No, I can see you.
Okay.
All right.
Thank you.
Hatzlacha. Great to see all of you.
I just missed that again.
What?
Sorry. Thank you so much.
Okay. Thank you. Thank you for inviting me. Thank you for listening. Kol tov.